Well, it's good to be here with you again today, and may the Lord bless you. I was touched by the testimonies. I think I was the preacher. Wasn't I the preacher when you came to the Lord? Sister, it's a privilege to preach the Word of God to someone who treats it seriously. It's a privilege to preach the Word of God to someone who, through all the struggles of life, still remains true to Jesus in spite of. It's a great blessing. And I think I was the preacher the day that Clement was crying. Was I the preacher that day?
Yes.
I was. Yes. It's quite a day for me, isn't it? What a blessing. I remember telling Clement and his wife to go home and read the Gospel of John. And let me know when you finished it. So what they did was, I think in 2 days later, they got in touch with me and they said, we have read it. And we just couldn't stop reading it. We woke up in the morning wanting to read it. And I had also told them to listen to one of my sermons about three crosses on sermon audio. And I said, I've never told anybody to do that before, actually. And I said to them, why don't you listen to that sermon? And Amy texted me back and said, we have read right through the Gospel of John, and I want to make the cross of Christ the center of our lives.
Amen.
And that's what I want to preach about today. The door to heaven is the cross of Christ. So will you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and I'm reading from verse 33. He had been betrayed. He had been denied. He had been wrongly accused. He had been whipped and beaten and knocked about. They took his clothes off him. Then they put a purple robe on him. Then they put a scarlet robe on him. Then they put his clothes back on him. Then they made him carry the cross along the road, and he was so weak he couldn't carry it properly, and they got a man called Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus up Golgotha's hill. Now finally they have arrived at the place, and we're going to read about that now in verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And a superscription also was written over his head in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are touched and moved whenever we come near the cross of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the living power of the cross of Christ. We thank you how it still touches our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you did that day on that cross. It saved me. And we praise your great and holy name, great God of heaven, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that we believing in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as we come here today to consider again this cross of Christ, as we come, Father, to look at the very door of heaven, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit was there on the day that Jesus was crucified. And we pray that he will take the things of Christ and show them to us. Heavenly Father, we pray for that anointing to be upon every life. We ask you, Lord, to break us down. Amen. Break us down. Empty us. Make us real. Help us to stop fooling around. Lord, when we think about you, you are the great eternal God of heaven. You cannot look upon sin. You walk in light, not in darkness. You hate evil. And Father, we come before you today. Make this real to us. Lord, if men want sin, if they want to choose sin, help them to see they choose darkness. They choose death. They choose the devil. And they choose to be in hell with him forever. Lord, bring the choices to our hearts. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come. Convict us of sin. Lord, we come to church. Why should we bring our sin? Help us to leave our sin at the cross. Help us to leave it there forever. Heavenly Father, we pray for that anointing. We ask you humbly that the anointing may be upon the preacher. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. And I determine to know nothing among these people save Christ and him crucified. Heavenly Father, what I have seen in the closet, I declare unto them in the pulpit. What you have shown me from the book, I plan to speak to them. And so, God, help us today. Move upon every heart. Lord, let your voice be heard in the depth of our soul. We thank you how precious everybody is to you. We thank you, Lord, there's nobody, that the same blood that saved, that was shed for the Apostle Paul, was shed for us. We praise you for that. So we ask this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And as I've said to you, God helping me, I want to speak on the subject, the door to heaven is the cross of Christ. I was interested to hear people saying, well, we need to be asking, is there a heaven? Well, yes, of course there's a heaven. Well, how do we know that there's a heaven? We know because Jesus Christ said that there was a heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Sometimes we forget that the ongoing preaching of Jesus Christ can be found in the book of Revelation. Most of what is written in that book is what Jesus said by the Spirit to the churches. And it's full of heaven. It gives us descriptions of heaven. It tells us what kind of people are going to be there. It tells us that throne of God is there. The Lamb's book of life is there. It says when we get to heaven, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to sit down with Jesus. And we're going to sing a chorus. And what's the chorus we're going to sing? And even Moses is going to sing this song too. Moses, who represented the law, this is what they're going to sing in heaven. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So we know the name of the song. We should get ready to sing it. That's what's going to happen in heaven. And there is a place called heaven. And it's where God is. And it's where the Lord Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And it's where these departed saints are. Moses, Abraham, all these mighty men and women of God, they are there. Noah and his family, they are there. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all they're there in heaven with the Lord. But you can't all get there. You can't automatically go there. You don't have a right as a human being to go there, because God didn't make heaven for people that didn't know him. God didn't make heaven as a place where just anybody can go. You say, but I know a priest, and he pronounces a prayer over the people that are dying, and he says to them that they're going to be in heaven. He's a liar. If they're not trusting in the precious blood of Christ, if they haven't come to the cross, all the priest is doing, he's doing nothing for the man lying on the bed. He's only making the family happy. Because they think he's going to be all right, when he's not. If you haven't come to the cross of Christ, you're not going to heaven. If you've never been to the cross of Calvary, you know nothing about getting into heaven. Because there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through this precious cross. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what we understand, and that's what we know to be true. For example, God gave us examples of this. You've heard of the flood of Noah, that mighty flood. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that sin is not a small matter. It is not a small matter. One time, the world was filled with violence. So many people were sinning. The Bible says the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. They only thought about sin. And God says, it repents me in my heart that I have made man. And God says, I'm going to destroy men on the earth. And let me tell you something about sin. The world is a very big place. And you would think, how on earth could anybody destroy everybody in the world? Well, God did. Twice, and only twice, has God spoken to the world as a world. First at the time of the flood, and second by Jesus Christ coming into the world. This cross is the second instance of that fact. What happened in the flood? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible teaches that for 100 years, Noah preached. That's a long time. Nobody believed him. People wouldn't believe. They said, what are you talking about? Why are you building that boat? God is going to judge the world. God is going to do something. That God who you despise, the God who made the fruit on the tree that you eat, he's going to do some. No, he's not. God wouldn't do that. There's more of us than you, Noah. So in 100 years, he only won 7 converts to God. Only Noah and his family. Nobody else. Never be afraid of being in the minority. Might just say something. Let me say it in brackets. When Noah went into the ark, he was in the minority. But when he came out, he was the majority. Amen.
Amen.
So God said, I'm going to flood the world. And a man was walking down the road. Remember, it had never rained in the earth. Never been any rain, ever. Ever. No rain. The Bible says the world was watered by a mist. And God says, I'm going to flood the world. I think maybe it happened like this. A man's walking down the road and a raindrop falls on his forehead. He goes like that. Then another one. He thinks a fly is chasing him. And a woman's going along the road with her shopping. And all of a sudden she sees the dust in front of her kicking up like that. Big drops of water are coming down. And God is beginning to make it rain. And he flooded the earth. But what did he do for Noah and his family and all the animals? He told them to make an ark, and he said, you make one door in that ark. You know, always when God does things, he's always looking at the total picture. If he had said to Noah, you make four or five doors, then people would be saying, oh, it's okay, we can't go in the front door, but we can go in the back door. There's only one door. And the door is Christ. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Only Christ is the door. Somebody already quoted Jesus said, and we say the verse too quick. We say it like this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And no man comes to the Father but by me. And you are not going to prove Jesus to be a liar. He said, nobody comes. No pope, no priest, no prophet, no woman, no man, no boy, no girl can come except by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you don't come by him, you're not coming. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so he flooded the world. And we know what happened. Now, hundreds, thousands of years later, God sends his Son into the world. Mary went down into the mysterious land of motherhood. She came back with a little baby in her arms. The angel had said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ grew up as a child, as a youth, as a man. He went about doing good. He sat and he taught the law of God, the spiritual application of it. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. As I was telling another congregation recently, Jesus never went to a funeral, never. He's walking along the road and somebody comes along carrying a little child that's dead. Jesus raises the child from the dead. Comes to the grave of Lazarus. He says to Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he had just said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have come out. Because he's the Lord of life and death. And so now he comes. And after 3 years of public ministry, doing all the things that were foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, everything he did, finally he comes to the place called Calvary. The Bible says that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. These men, they thought they were crucifying Christ, but all they were really doing was helping the Father make a sacrifice for sin forever. We do not understand these things. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. How can God get any glory out of my life? He will get glory out of your life when you turn to Jesus Christ. And if you do not turn to Jesus Christ, he will still get glory out of your life because you will go where he tells you to go. And you will do what he tells you to do. You will not decide. And so he comes to the place. As I've said in my prayer, I think. They beat him and they whipped him. And they did all these other things. Now he's come to the place called Calvary. And let us have a quick look at this cross. What does the cross teach us? As we look at the cross, what does it teach us? First of all, it teaches of the mighty love of God, doesn't it? How great God's love is. Where he said nothing and he did nothing. He let men do their worst. I don't know what it's like. Imagine those priests saying, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to save himself. He came to save us.
Amen.
He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man has come to give His life.
Amen.
A ransom for many. Who do you think said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? It was Jesus that said that. When He was talking to Nicodemus that night, He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, sin is so evil that we think in our hearts that God wants to condemn us. God doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. You say you're having a problem with sin. It is God's problem too, because He wants to get you out of it. He's patient, He's loving, He's kind, He's tender towards us. He really cares for us. He's so loving to us. God didn't send His Son into the world, Jesus said, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that comes to Him is not condemned. He that believes on Him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already. God doesn't have to point the finger at you and say, you are condemned. You're already condemned in your heart. Why are you condemned? Because you have not believed. In that context, the word believe means to commit yourself. You have not committed yourself to the Son of God. So you already condemn yourself. God didn't condemn you. You condemned yourself. The Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love darkness. Now I'm going to interrupt my own sermon, really. You know, there were two thieves crucified on the cross, one on either side of Jesus. And one of them, he got saved, we know that. But the other one cursed him, wouldn't turn to him, railed upon him. That means he jeered him, he mocked him, he said everything he could think of. You know that when I think about that thief on the cross, the one I'm talking about, he was just like Satan in the Garden of Eden. Because Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, what are you talking about? Would God do that? Did God say that you're not to eat of this fruit? Is that what He said? And can you hear the whine and the sneer in His voice when He said, you shall not surely die? Liar! She died that day. Her relationship with God was finished that day. And later, she would die and be buried in the ground. But you see this now, the same sneer. This man is sneering at Jesus. I want to just ask you a question. You're sitting here today with sin in your heart. Where do you think that sin is going to take you? Stop for a minute. Where are you going? Where is your sin going to take you? Let's go back and look at this thief. Do you think that you could say to him, listen, you know what you're going to do one day? You're going to die for your sin. But something unusual is going to happen because you're going to die right alongside the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. Now, we can't say anymore because we don't know what he's going to do, but we do know now. He hung there alongside Jesus and rejected him. Now, why did he reject Jesus? Do you know the answer? Why did he reject Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because he had something in his heart that he used to control. I'm talking about his sin. He used to be able to control it. But now it's controlling him. And do you know what this sin taught him? Always have your own way. Always do what you want. If the wife won't, then cheat on her. If there's not enough money, steal some. You've got to get your own way. You have to have your way. And sin teaches people to be determined to get their own way. And so a husband will get his own way. And a woman will get her own way. And they will keep on like that until they're like this thief. This thief had set in motion in his life something he now cannot control. It controls him. I say to you today, you can have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sin. You can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can go to heaven when you die. You can live clean and pure in this world now. But you will say to me, no, no. You see, I've got this one thing in my heart that I have to hang on to. That one thing in your heart is more important than your salvation, than God, than purity, than love. You see, the power of what's in your life. Who's going to deliver you from this? Who's going to save you from your own sin? Determination to get my own way. And all his adult life, this man got his own way. And now he's hanging on the cross alongside the Savior of the world. And he's still getting his own way. Because you see, he wants to express his sin. All he wants to do is get off the cross. He doesn't want to be forgiven. He doesn't even want to go to heaven. He wants to get off the cross. And Jesus, if you're not going to get me off this cross, I'm not going to come and ask you to be my Savior. You see what it did to him? Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought that sin would bring this man to that place? But sin will bring you to that place too. It'll bring you to the same place. You get your own way. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, are you getting your own way with God? Are you living as a Christian? I was thinking about the cross. And you say, well, I've got the cross in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, if the cross in your life is not cleaning up your life, you haven't got the cross of Christ. You've got a cross you invented. You made it yourself. You caught some verses together and some ideas together, and you made it up. If the cross of Jesus Christ is in your life is getting cleaned up. And if it's not getting cleaned up, you haven't got this cross. Because the true cross, listen to me, the true cross always crucifies us. It crucifies us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. We know that Christ was crucified for Paul and for me too. We know that. We know that Christ took Paul's place on the cross and mine too and yours too. We know that. But there's other truth in the Bible. God wants us on that cross. God wants that cross in us. The young man said how he struggled and all these things, and that's right. That's right. But you know how to help against that struggle? Come to the cross. Die daily. Die to that sin. Lord, this sin is too powerful. I don't know how to handle it. Then I'm going to come to the cross. And I've found something. I'm giving you my testimony now. No sin can stand in the sight of the cross.
Amen.
You come to the cross and your sin will start saying, leave me alone. Your sin will start saying, hey, you're being too serious. And you have to say, die, die, die.
Amen.
Come to the cross. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ is not only the door of heaven, it's the doorway to the Christian life. It's the doorway to holiness. It's the doorway to purity. It's the doorway to truth. It's the doorway to reality. Now, what do we have in many of our churches today? This is what we've got. We have people who believe in Jesus, as the guy said. People believe in Jesus. And they say they trust in Jesus. And they read their Bibles and they pray, but they have a problem. And do you know what the problem is? Jesus has never entered their heart. He's in the head. And if you can be satisfied as a, in quotes, Christian, as a Christian, living without the Bible, having hardly any prayer, not fellowshipping with God's people, I want to tell you to your face, you are not a Christian. Oh, you're a believer, but you've been deceived. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We know that when we come to Christ, we struggle with things. There are things that God shows me. I have to go to Him. I have to pray. I have to seek His face. And I have to bring that thing to the cross. And sometimes it's not easy. Especially if it involves your personality and your opinion of other people and all these things. But you've got to die. Sometimes there are people in your life and they're dragging you down. They used to be spiritual, but now they're not spiritual. And they're dragging you down. You maybe even used to love them, but now in your deepest heart you know that you don't. What you have to do is bring them to the cross and leave them there. You should not be associating with somebody who's dragging you down. You should not be fooling around with somebody who doesn't love Jesus. You should not be playing around with somebody who doesn't want to go to heaven. You're betraying the Lord and denying the Lord every time you get near that person. Because they are just making a mockery of your God. Stop it. This thief, extraordinary. He didn't want the Savior. Jesus was on the cross. You can't get closer to Jesus than that. Right alongside Him. And you know what the other man said? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. I was preaching about this somewhere else recently, and I was telling them the last companion of Christ upon earth before he died was a repenting thief. Amen. You say, Jesus, who's your friend? Well, he used to be a thief. Now he's one of my children. Where are you taking him? I'm taking him to heaven. I'm taking him to paradise. Now I don't want any theologians to jump up and start talking to me about paradise. The Bible says, if you want to look it up, that paradise is where the tree of life is. And that's where God is. And that's where the throne of God is. And so, this thief says, Lord, remember me. Let me tell you something about Jesus. When he remembers you, he knows everything about you. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus said to her, you go and call your husband. She said, I'm sure she dropped her head. She said, Lord, I have no husband. Now, he had never been to Samaria in his life. And what did he say to her? He said, that's the truth. You have no husband. You've had five husbands. And the man you're with at the moment is not your husband. You're telling the truth. And I'll tell you something wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you start telling him the truth, he can deal with you in truth.
Amen.
Lord, remember me. I was thinking about those men that smacked Jesus on the face. They blindfolded him and hit him and said, Lord, who smote you? Who hit you? Let me tell you something. He could have told that man his name, his wife's name, his children's name, his mother's name, his grandmother's name. He knew all about them. And he knows all about you. And knowing all about you, he still wants you to come to him. Knowing all about you, he didn't say to this thief, and you know, I was praying. See, I had to preach on this at Easter, and I try and grow in my preaching, I really do. I try to grow in spiritual knowledge. And I said to the Lord something I never said to him before. I said, Lord, why have we got this thief here on the cross, believing in Jesus? Why here? What's going on here? What is the message? And you know, he just whispered to my heart, to tell the world that the only way to have salvation is through Jesus Christ and nothing else.
Amen.
Baptism, yes, Christians should be baptized, but there's no salvation in baptism. Church membership, yes, do it, but there's no salvation in the church. No salvation in the church. No salvation in keeping the commandments. No salvation in reading the Bible. No salvation in prayer. There's only salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you may know the Bible better than me, but do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? I didn't ask you, do you know about Him? I said, do you know Him? When Jesus was walking through the crowd one day, my Lord, everybody's pressing on Him, touching Him, pushing Him. And all of a sudden, He stopped and He said, who touched me? And the disciple rightly said, Lord, everybody's touching you. And He said, virtue has gone out of me. What He meant was, somebody touched me in faith. Somebody touched me believing. Who was that? And you know, it was a woman who had the issue of blood 12 years. And she was healed instantly that she touched Jesus. Now I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is this, you touch Jesus and He'll know it. He'll know it. He wants you to. He wants you to come to Him. Neither is there salvation in any other. The Pope can't save you. He can't even save himself. The priest can't save you. He can't even forgive his own sins. He can't save you. I couldn't save you. There's nothing I could do to save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Only Christ. And you have to come to Him. You have to come to Him. And now this thief, he's going to heaven. The doorway to heaven is the cross of Christ.
Amen.
No other doorway. No other way. He said, I am the door. I already quoted it. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. You've got to come to Christ. You have to know Him personally. You have to touch His heart, and He'll save your heart. You've got to come to Him as a sinner. This man did. He said, what we're doing, he said to the other thief, we deserve what's happening to us, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. I noticed too on this cross that Jesus forgave the men who nailed Him to the cross. Father, forgive them. Those are the ones. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. What do you do when somebody nails you to the cross? You get very angry and hurt, don't you? But what did Jesus do? So what do we learn from the cross? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now people say to me, and they're right, I can't forgive. He's not asking you to forgive on your own. What He teaches is, you come to me and you use my forgiveness for them. I will change your heart. I will do something in your life and you will be able to forgive them. I was thinking the other day of Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if you know her. The famous woman who was in the concentration camp in Auschwitz. And she survived all those horrors. But one day in the cold snow, she saw a prison guard beating her sister Betsy. Beating her. And Betsy was so frail and small. And they took Betsy inside and she died. Now what do you think that does to the heart of her sister? She dearly loved Betsy. And one day, many, many years later, somebody said to her, there is a man asking for you. She knew the man's name because it was the prison guard that killed her sister. She knew his name. And she had to pray and go to God. And she went to see him. And she told him what you did to my sister. But she said, by God's grace, I have forgiven you. But then she said the very important thing. But only God can forgive you for what you did to my sister. You have to ask God to forgive you. I can't forgive you for that. That's between you and God. It's no longer an issue. And she did see that man come to Christ. That's forgiveness. It doesn't mean we agree with the people who hurt us. It doesn't mean we even like them. We don't even love them. But we can't allow them to be a factor in our lives when we walk with God. So we have to forgive. And this is what we look at the cross. We see forgiveness. We see Jesus telling his mother to go and live with the disciple John. And he said to John, "Behold your mother." You know, friends, let me pause for a minute. Isn't this lovely? Isn't it wonderful when people are so close to you that you don't have to keep on explaining everything to them? All he said to John was, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. You and I should have a heart like that with the Lord. We should obey him because we love him and because we trust him. We don't have to know everything. Obey him. And I see forgiveness here at the cross, and I see the darkness. We know that in the darkness, the Bible says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That Christ bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin was made sin. We don't understand this. But you know, remember, God had said, "Let there be light." Way back at the beginning of Genesis, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now God says, "Let there be darkness," and there is darkness. There's darkness over all the land for 3 hours. And you know what? We used to think, some of us, that the sun stopped shining. That's not what happened. What happened was the darkness overwhelmed the sun. And the sun did not shine. And in that darkness, he bare my sin in his own body. He was made sin. He poured out his soul unto death on that cross in that darkness. And at the end of it, Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you know why Jesus was forsaken at the end of that darkness? Because he was a sin bearer. And sin separates us from God. Sin separates a mother from her children. Sin separates children from their parents. There are things even in young hearts where they're planning. You wait till I'm 16. And they're planning. Because sin has got in there. And sin is making the calls. Sin separates between a man and his brother. Sin separates. In the Garden of Eden, when those parents of ours sinned, God said, "You go out of the garden." Before, they used to walk with God in the evening. And Adam, when he knew God was coming, he went and hid himself among the trees. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" And it wasn't because God didn't know where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. He said, "I'm here. I hid myself." Well, always we hide ourselves. It separates us. Sir, have you got something in your heart you can't tell your wife? That's sin. And that's separating you from her love. She knows there's something wrong. For 10 years, she knows there's something wrong. She feels it, but she doesn't understand it. You need to get rid of that sin. You need to confess it to God and get rid of it, because sin separates between husband and wife. Sin separates between children and parents. Sin separates between us and God. And Jesus, as the Son of Man, as our Redeemer, as my substitute, as the one who paid the price for me, he was separated from the Father. You know, before he said, I read it, "I am not alone, for the Father is with me." Now the Father is not with him. "My God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" And you and I are the answer to that question. I love the Lord. Just let me grab a couple of minutes to tell you this. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if it had been me, I would have said, God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus said, my God. Because what he was telling the Father was this: you have forsaken me, but I am not going to forsake you. You're still my God. My God. Why have you forsaken me? It was because of sin. But it was, the relationship was restored. We know that. Because a little later, Jesus cries out, it is finished. Teleo. It is finished. And he bows his head and he gives up the ghost. What does he say? Father. The word is back again. He had never sinned. Oh, I know he was a sin bearer. But death could not claim the life of the Son of God, because he did not sin. And he gave his life a ransom for many. Now you know what happened on the third day. He was raised from the dead. If he wasn't raised from the dead, we wouldn't be here today. Because by raising him from the dead, several things happened. One of them was the Father was saying, your sacrifice is accepted. Your sacrifice is accepted. You've paid the price. The transaction is complete. And he raised Jesus from the dead. Now I want to ask you, are you going to heaven? Not if you're playing around with sin, you're not. Oh, I know. I know you've been doing it for years, and the people in the church, they accept you, and you know how to be comfortable, and you know how to quote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and your conscience feels a little bit better. But I want to tell you that if you're holding sin in your heart, you're not going to God's heaven. Amen. You are not. Now that's different. To a man, some men struggle with sin for years. They're going to heaven. What's the difference between these two men? One man is crying. One man's weeping. One man's saying, why do I do this? Lord, I don't want to be like this. Help me. Stop. Often men are not delivered from their sins because they're not taught properly from the Word of God. And they don't see things the way they should. But the other man, he loves his sin. It's his secret. And he hangs on to it. And it hangs on to him, and he keeps it a secret. And his sin says to him, now listen, brother, I won't embarrass you. I'm not asking you to leave the front door of your house open. Just leave a window not locked at the back, so I can come into your life when I want to. And that's exactly what happens. You start getting near the Lord, the sin says, just a minute, don't forget me. You start getting near the Lord, the sin says, well, what's going to happen? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the worst things that could be in this congregation today, there could be men and women who are afraid of being found out. They're afraid that someone will discover their sin. They're afraid. If people know what they're like, people know what they've done, the family knows, they're afraid. And so you determine in your heart, you're going to carry on your way, you're going to hug your secret to your heart, and you will go to hell with this thief. That's where you'll go. Because you love darkness rather than light. And it's possible that you don't love this thing, but you're too frightened to let it go. Let it go! God already knows about it. God already knows about it. And I tell you the truth. Sometimes people come and they say things to me, and before they tell me, I already know. Because God knows. And I don't know everything, and I don't really want to know people's secrets. But sometimes this happens. Somebody's keeping a secret, and it's not a secret. It's the devil's secret. You and the devil have got a secret. Everybody else knows about it. And the devil says, keep it quiet. It's not quiet. God knows about it. And let me promise you something. God loves you too much to leave you with it. And if you won't deal with it, he will start telling people. He will tell on you. And circumstances will happen where you have to deal with it. You have to look it in the eye and you have to stop it. You have to deal with it because God will send people into your life to uncover your sin. Why is he doing it? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to go on in this hurt. What is the cross all about? Isn't the cross all about God's love for us? Isn't the cross all about the price he's prepared to pay for our salvation? Now today I want to make this point with you. So I bring this message to a close. I want to say to you, if you want to go to heaven, the only door to heaven is the cross of Christ. It was set up by God himself. That's the only door to heaven. Secondly, if you want forgiveness of sins, if you want your sins taken away, they can only be taken away at the cross, nowhere else. No temple, no priest, no work, no program, no nothing can take away your sin. Only Christ can take away your sin. Because sin divides between soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and only God's word can get in there. All your love for your wife has not stopped your sin. You have reasoned with yourself. You have argued with yourself. You have talked to yourself. And as much as you love her, you still can't handle it. You never could and you never will. You've got to bring it to the Lord. You've got to bring it to the Lord. That's all you can do, is just bring it to the cross. Lord, I lay it down before you. I put it down here in front of you. That's all you can do. And as a Christian, I want to ask you, are you living for this cross? Are you standing by this cross? Or are you using Jesus as an excuse to go to heaven while you go away and enjoy yourself? You're not going to get there, brother. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Jesus said, I know my sheep. They hear my voice. And they live however they want. That's not what he said. They hear my voice and they follow me. They follow me. Not somebody else. Not something else. They follow Christ. Final word I will say to you is this. True Christianity is not a system. It's a person. We build our churches around Christ. We build our laws and all the things, our programs around Christ. But we're not really correct in doing that. Because only Jesus is what the people need. Only Jesus. And you may be in the Christian church. You may be a part of it. You may even be a preacher. You can be an elder. I've found them all. And you can be doing all these things and not really serving Jesus. You've got to serve him. He said, if you want to follow me, then you take up your cross daily and follow me. Today what I'm going to do is very simple. It's not between me and you. It's between the Lord and you.
Amen.
Between you and him. And I'm asking you to commit yourself, give yourself to him. Now you may be as close, maybe I don't know how close you get to him. You may be, remember, you can be crucified alongside of Jesus Christ and still be lost. You can be so close. You can be near a man or a woman of God and you can still be lost. You've got to come to Christ yourself. You've got to turn to the Lord yourself. You've got to cry out to him. You say, what do I have to do? It's simple. Just come and say to Jesus, Jesus, take my sin and let me take you. Isn't that simple? All this man said, he didn't even say to Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry I robbed that old widow woman. I'm sorry I did this, and I'm sorry. He didn't even say that. He just said, Lord, remember me. And in the saying of it, he was saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm giving my whole self to you. Can I just quickly say something else? Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the crowd was against Jesus, the priests were sneering, the disciples were silent, the women were silent that loved him. One man in all the world stood up for Jesus. He was a thief. And in front of everybody, he said, Lord, remember me. I'm going with you, Lord. And I don't know, God may be calling you to be a witness for him, to stand for him when other people won't. In your family, it will be a problem if you give your life to Christ. But the problem won't last very long, because you will take some of them to heaven with you, and you'll have your family in heaven. Our light affliction is but for a moment, just for a moment. What does the Bible even say about the death of Jesus, our Lord? It says, who, speaking about him, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What does that mean? He was hanging there naked. He was being spat at. He was being all sorts of things. But you know what he did in his heart? You know what he was saying in his heart? All this is worth it. It's worth it, because I'm going to redeem the world. It's worth it. My shame is worth their glory. My suffering is worth their salvation. You see what he was doing? Are you going to let something stand between you and this Redeemer? Are you going to do that? I wouldn't if I were you. I would seek him with all your heart. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give an invitation hymn. And while we're singing this hymn, I'm asking you, those to whom God has spoken, you want to respond to Jesus, not to me. I'm asking you today, surrender your heart and life to him. Bring your sin burden to the Savior. Come to the cross by faith. There's no cross here, but we come by faith. And we trust him. You come as we sing. God bless you.